That's right. Here's Dr. Morgan. Wonder what we're going to talk about today. I came across an article I want to share with you. It comes from, this is just the abstract, but I want you just to capture this idea. It's about, well, here's the title of the article: How Pomegranate Puts Chemo and Radiation to Shame. Now, when I saw the title of that article, I thought to myself, you know, back in the Old Testament, there was a very precise garment or robe or outfit that the high priest would wear when he would enter the Holy of Holies. And it's been a while since I've looked at it, but if I'm not mistaken, there is a pomegranate that is embroidered somewhere within the outfit that the high priest would wear. Now, that's just me talking, but I want to read this to you, because this is, on one level, this is pretty serious, because every single day here in East Texas or in the world, people get diagnoses of having a cancer, whether it's a breast cancer or colon cancer, prostate cancer, lung cancer, bone cancer, brain cancer. And they're sold an idea that certain treatments are going to be very, very effective. Now, I think it's okay if we question, but what I want to do is let me read this to you, and I want to see if this helps give you a different understanding. Okay, this is just the abstract of that article, How Pomegranate Puts Chemo and Radiation to Shame, which, with a title like that, you know I'm going to read it. In recent years, an emergent theory has proposed that a rare subpopulation of cancerous cells, these are called cancer stem cells, they may be largely responsible for tumorigenesis and resistance. Now, if I broke this down, I would say this is how it goes in the real world. You have cancer, the doctor recommends chemotherapy, and they demonstrate with the type of testing that are performed on the patient that, man, this is good. The tumor is shrinking. It's disappearing and going away. Only to have it a year later come back with a vengeance. And the reason why? It's because they never killed the cancer stem cells. If you want to call these the core root cells or the stem cells of the cancer, then I'd say yes, that's true. So just hold that thought in your idea. They may kill the cancer cells that grow, but they don't kill the cancer stem cells. That's a starting point. And so once the chemo's gone and the radiation's gone, guess what? Those stem cells kind of come out of hiding. They're no longer dormant, and they rejuvenate, and they come back, and that's where the cancer comes back, which I know you've heard that story over and over again. Okay. Much like healthy progenitor or stem cells, which renew and sustain organs and tissues, cancer stem cells, they exhibit characteristic self-renewal and differentiation properties, which means they help regenerate malignant cells all over again, and thus fueling the growth of cancer. In fact, evidence now finds that conventional treatments like radiation and chemotherapy can induce non-cancerous cells into a transient cancer stem cell-like state. I know this is complicated, but just hear me out. The discovery of the cancer stem cells at the root of cancer malignancy reveals that the standard of care in oncology warrants safer, more effective alternative interventions that selectively target these cancer stem cells. Two recent studies have looked at the effects of pomegranate extract. We're talking a pomegranate. If you walk into the store, there's usually a refrigerated section where they may have refrigerated juices. Well, haven't you ever seen the pomegranate juice there on the shelf? So these two recent studies have looked at the effects of a pomegranate extract on colorectal cancer and breast cancer stem cells. Folks, these are two of the most common forms of cancer that people suffer with today. I think the number one cancer for women would be what? Breast cancer. And men, it would be prostate cancer. But between the two of them, it's colorectal cancer or colon cancer. Pomegranate bioactive compounds were found to inhibit cancer stem cells and their ability to self-renew. Wouldn't that be nice if there was something that you could take that would turn off those cancer stem cells so they wouldn't renew themselves, meaning they wouldn't grow a new tumor, or they wouldn't be malignant, or they wouldn't spread? Yeah, I like that. Pomegranate. While interfering with multiple pivotal pathways implicated in different stages of carcinogenesis, that just means the growth and development of cancer, while pomegranate interferes. Now, in the case of breast cancer stem cells, the pomegranate extract was found to alter the characteristics of individual breast cancer stem cells, reduce the mammosphere, which means the clump formation. Have you ever felt of a breast cancer, a tumor? You instantly know it's different tissue growing there. Something's not right. But pomegranate juice has been shown to stop the clump formation, and it down-regulates the genes that are involved in cancer stem cell generation. Isn't that interesting? How something that God has designed for us in nature can sort of turn that switch off or flip a switch to where it says, do not grow. Don't grow a tumor. I love it. The researchers concluded the ability of pomegranate extract to suppress cancer stem cells can be exploited in the prevention of breast cancer. And the title of the article was, How Pomegranate Puts Chemo and Radiation to Shame, by Sayer Jai. I think that comes from www.greenmediainfo.com. To me, that is interesting. Now, I'm sure somebody that's a Bible scholar will know the answer to that, and there's probably a professor of Bible studies listening right now, and he can call in and explain, why was a pomegranate embroidered into the outfit of the high priest? I just don't know the answer to that. But I find it very intriguing and very exciting. All right. If you haven't heard this program before, it's called Health Essentials. Now, we're going to go on to the second article that I like very, very much. You know what? I know I'm not going to get many takers on this, but I'm intrigued by this. And I'm selling myself on this by reading this. You know how in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? Well, what does that mean? That means when you hear the truth, it touches your heart, and you do something with it. Yes, you can reject it, but if you do something with it that's good, everything that God has told us to do is for our benefit, correct? All right. This article is titled, Studies Show What Happens to the Human Body When We Walk Barefoot on the Earth. Is that just a little bit too complex to comprehend? Who came up with this stuff? Is this GlaxoSmithKline or the drug company Pfizer or Bayer? Did they come up with this article? No way. The article is, Studies Show What Happens to the Human Body When We Walk Barefoot on the Earth, by Arjun Walia. I just think this is so interesting. Anyway, let me read the abstract to you, and you can give me your own feedback. But then again, maybe as I read this, you might start to let it roll around in your head and ponder in your heart that maybe there's something going on here that we're not readily educated about. Well, that's my job. Here goes. Multidisciplinary research is increasingly demonstrating a positive and often overlooked environmental factor on health. Direct physical contact with the electron-rich surface of the Earth. According to one study published in the Journal of Environmental and Public Health, the electrically conductive connection of the human body to the ground plane represents a potential treatment for a variety of chronic degenerative diseases. Isn't that intriguing? The study concluded that grounding or sustained contact with the Earth's natural electrical charge could serve as a profoundly effective environmental strategy against chronic stress. ANS dysfunction, which that's ANS means autonomic nervous system. Inflammation. Anybody out there listening have any inflammation? Pain. Poor sleep. Hypercoagulable blood. That means thick, dirty blood. It wants to clump up. And many common health disorders, including cardiovascular disease. I know, you're talking about bare feet on the dirt, Dr. Morgan, and you just mentioned cardiovascular disease like heart disease in the same sentence. Yes, I did. The research done to date supports the concept that grounding or earthing the human body may be an essential element in the health equation, along with the sunshine, clean air, water, nutritious food, and physical activity. A 2013 landmark investigation found that you're probably going to think I'm making this up, but I'm not. Just listen to this. You know, when you go to the doctor and he says it's time for your yearly physical, what we're going to do today is we're going to do lab work. And in that lab work, there's a test that's going to measure how well your kidneys are doing. It's called BUN. That's an acronym or short for blood urea nitrogen. All right, listen to this. We're still talking about walking barefoot on the dirt here. Or in my case, maybe I'll lay on some red dirt today. I'll wear a white pair of shorts and a t-shirt. That way everybody will know I laid on the red dirt. A 23 landmark investigation found that blood urea concentrations are lower in subjects who are grounded during physical exercise and recovery, suggesting a positive nitrogen balance. If you have gone to the doctor and he says that your blood urea nitrogen level, or your BUN, is at 50, well, folks, that's way too high. And this research shows that it's a whole lot lower when you just walk barefoot. I'm thinking if you're a man that's nearly 70 years of age, and let's just say you live on 4 acres, so you've got a little bit of room to move around, I think you should take your loincloth, strap it on, grab your spear, and wear no socks or no shoes, and you should walk barefoot on your property hunting wild saber-toothed tiger. I'm sure they exist. Anyway, researchers at the University of California at Irvine observe that grounding improves facial blood circulation regulation. I know, this is going to sound bizarre to you, and you're saying, Dr. Morgan, you're just talking about the kidneys lowering some of these blood urea nitrogen levels, which means that your blood's cleaner and your kidneys are working better. Yeah, I did. Now we've got researchers at the University of California at Irvine that shows that grounding improves facial blood circulation. We're talking about the looks of your face, enhancing skin tissue repair and improving overall appearance. I know of one person right now that could use a little bit of improvement in overall facial appearance. We're not naming names, but, you know, I'm not looking toward anybody else. I'm just thinking about, well, anyway. According to a review, such therapeutic physiological processes associated with grounding involve free electrons from the Earth's surface to spread over and into the body where they can have antioxidant effects. This is just incredible. Any time that you consume something, let's just say cigarette smoke, it is filled with oxidation. And so what's going to happen, folks? It's going to have to steal all these free electrons from things like vitamin C or tissues in your body, so they do damage. I think vitamin C has been shown and proven to be one of the greatest electron donors of all times. When you give free electrons, these are called antioxidants. Oxidants are things like cigarette smoke and drugs and junk food. And I would venture a guess that maybe stress might be one of the greatest sources of oxidation. Well, if you don't mop all this trash and debris up, you're going to have damage to your body. The article that I read before I came on the air, and I kind of pondered whether I should share it with you or not, but I said to myself, no, this is just too wordy and too long. But what they did was they took laboratory animals, and they could extend their life nearly to 200 years. And when I say 200 years, that's just the estimate, because there's no lab rat researcher that's lived to be 200 years of age that says, these are my babies, and this is what I've done to protect them for the last 200 years. But what they did was they were using vitamin C as an electron donor. That is what you want. One of the old treatments for prostate cancer, is taking, high sulfur-bound cottage cheese and mixing it with flaxseed oil. Well, this creates an electron donor. I mean, cancer cells, by their very nature, they just spew forth oxidants. Thus, we need antioxidants to help counter that. I don't know what you think about this, but to me, this is free, folks. Unless we have, you know, maybe lawmakers that find a way to charge you for walking barefooted. But walking barefooted on the dirt or putting your body in contact with the ground, maybe that's why going to the beach is so beneficial, because you take your shoes off and walk around in the sand where there's a high amount of electromagnetic activity from the earth. Or why people going camping feel so good afterwards, because they've recharged their battery with free electrons from the earth. So I'm just saying, this might be proof that if you have kidney problems or kidney damage, that walking barefoot may be in your best interest. What do you think about that? The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. There's a phone line open if you want to join me, but if you do not, I'm going to read another article that I like very, very much. And this article is titled, Proceed Boldly. And I know I've read it to you before. Well, rats. Someone's trying to call. Rats. I was just joking. Welcome to the program. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I'm sorry to interrupt your reading of an article.
Oh, no. Go ahead, please.
I want to ask you a question. My daughter has been diagnosed with gallstones, and they said she's going to have surgery. This has been going on since March of this year, and she's been taking nothing but this pain medicine, Tylenol 3, to try to keep the pain away. So I was wondering, anything she can do to, is there anything you can do to make the gallstones go away?
I guess that's all we've got to do here is just dissolve all the gallstones and sludge and make her gallbladder brand new again.
Okay.
Here's what you do. You'll take a blender. And in the blender, you're going to go to the grocery store and you're going to buy a bunch of beets, and usually they come in threes.
Okay.
Take the beet. I'm going to let you decide if washing the dirt off the beets is in your best interest or not.
Okay.
I really don't care about that. But just put the beet in a blender, and let's use about 8 to maybe 10 ounces of unfiltered apple juice. And unfiltered apple juice, it's probably going to say 100% natural, organic, but it looks like rusty water with sediment at the bottom of it. Have you ever seen that before?
Yes, I have. I even drink it sometimes myself. So
Good. Well, there's an enzyme that's found in apple juice called pectinase.
Okay.
And I think that has been beneficial to help dissolve gallstones.
So it can be dissolved, because the surgeon told us that you can do to dissolve or make gallstones go away, so that's why.
Of course. Oh, yes, they are out completely 100% right. Nothing you can do. The only option you have is $35,000 for a surgery, baby. Anyway, let me keep moving forward.
Okay.
If you will take the beet, put it in a blender, 8 to 10 ounces of the natural apple juice that looks like dirty water, or rusted water, then you're going to add 1 tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil to it. And you're going to find the most beautiful specimen of a lemon that you've ever seen before in your entire life.
Okay.
And you're going to take that lemon and squeeze every drop of the juice.
Okay.
Now, the juice itself is going to act as a solvent. A solvent's going to be like water and dishwashing liquid to scrub your dishes clean.
Okay.
Well, what we got is we got a dirty gallbladder, and we want to start scrubbing it clean.
Right, okay.
And so if you want to form stones in the gallbladder, okay, what I would recommend is you eat plenty of vegetable oils. So eating lots of fried foods, mm-hmm, and eating, yes, sugar, that's going to be a pretty good recipe for having stones form.
Okay.
And yes, so what I would do if it were me, well, I can tell you, if you look at the studies on how they used to treat severe, severe gallbladder attacks, meaning women show up at the emergency room saying, I'm about to die, what they would do is they would put them in a hospital bed, and they would give them water, and they would give them beef. Yeah. Do you know what beef is?
No.
Beef is the steak.
Oh, yeah, beef steak. Oh, Kathy said beef.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Okay.
I know it's early in the morning.
Yes,
there's no doubt I'm mispronouncing half the words that are coming out of my mouth.
Yes, sir.
Let me spell that. B-E-E-F.
Yeah, right. Exactly. My daughter was saying something about beef yesterday. I said beef. I said beef.
Well, both of them.
Okay, beef.
Hey, you can't go wrong with either one of them. You can take either of them. Those are my two recommendations.
Okay.
B-E-E-T and B-E-E-F.
Okay.
And so if she'll eat those two things, what we're going to do is my point that I'm getting to is, if you want to have gallstones form, then you eat the wrong food, and we can get them to form every single time and just about everybody.
I see.
Have you ever done a gallbladder flush before?
Most of them
have. I have.
Oh, okay.
You know how many gallstones I got out?
No.
37.
Well, they said she had a lot of them in there. You see, the first started was like inflammation. Then,
of course. But if she eats beets and beef for two weeks, all the inflammation will go away, and those stones will probably just pass right out.
Oh, okay. So 3 weeks. We did it for 3 weeks. Okay.
I realize I'm disappointing a lot of surgeons this morning.
Well, I'm happy.
Does that bother you?
Don't bother me a bit, because I only have $35,000.
Well, I just made that number up.
I don't mind, paying the surgeon and all that stuff, but I don't have that kind of money. But if there's something I can do naturally to help her, I'm happy to do it.
The idea of the lemon juice, when I say the word solvent, I'm just talking about something that's going to scrub you clean. So this is going to be my concoction. It's going to be like liquid laundry detergent or soap for her gallbladder. We're going to clean that sucker out.
Right. Okay. That's what I want to do.
If she did this beet apple juice concoction once a day,
okay,
it'd be very interesting to see what happens. And then on top of that, what she can do if she wants to, she can drink this apple juice all day long.
Just by herself?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then.
Does she like it with ice cubes?
She likes it any kind of way.
Does she like it warm?
Yes.
Okay, then we're in business.
Okay, well, yeah.
Some like it hot, some like it cold.
Right.
Some like it in the pot 9 days. I'm not sure why I said that. Anyway, go
ahead. Okay, well, good morning. You've been a big help. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call.
Every morning and on Sundays, too.
Oh, no. Are you serious? You listen to me on Sundays.
Yes, I do.
Would you believe me if I told you I have never heard a Sunday program with me on the radio?
Really?
But the other day I was driving down the road and I flipped on the radio and I thought, oh my goodness, this guy is a genius.
Yes,
and then I realized it was me and I turned it off. Anyway, thanks for your phone call.
You keep doing what you do. Love you.
Oh, love you too.
God bless you.
God bless you. Bye bye.
All right, bye bye.
You know I'm joking, don't you? The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning. This is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to the program. Oh, I didn't push the button right. Sorry. All right. Call back. That's on me. I thought I pushed the button or I engaged it properly. What you have to do is you have to hold it down for like a good minute. for 10 seconds. There is a phone line open at 903-586-5257. If nobody calls, I want to read this to you right here. Somebody just called. I'm going to get it right this time. All right. I did it right this time. Go ahead.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am very blessed. And let me tell you, you've been a godsend. My grandson, I called you probably a month or so ago, maybe a month and a half. And he has acne. He's 13, and you told me to start the probiotics for him. It has been fantastic. It's helped him a lot.
I am completely shocked. I never expected that to work.
It's helped so much. And any other
ideas? Wait a second. Does this mean that young 13-year-old girls are finding reasons to touch his face?
They probably will.
That is pure evil. I think we should get him out of, away from all girls. They're all bad, right?
He's doing so much better now. His whole back would break out. And it still is some.
Is it much better?
It's much better. He's taking the fish oil. He's taking flaxseed oil. He has zinc. He has the probiotics. How much probiotics should he be taking per day?
We're living in a world where I think we're going to come into exposure with so many toxic germs.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is a numbers game. So you want to get a probiotic that's going to have quite a bit of beneficial microbes and bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a continual competition within the human body for space. And so when you have good microbes that are taking up space within the colon, for example, that's a good thing. So keep moving the probiotics through his body, because we're going to continually get him cleaner and cleaner and cleaner.
So is it like 10 to 20 trillion?
Personally, I've never seen a number that high. If you said billion with a B,
okay,
I'd
billion.
Say yes.
Billion,
yeah.
Billion, okay.
Trillion, 10 to, that sounds like our national debt, 20 trillion.
Yeah, horrible. Yeah, okay, so 10 to 20 billion
yes.
is probably good for him.
Oh, yes, and I bet you anything, he's had zero trouble tolerating 10 to 20 billion.
Okay, now, we have
now, 10 to 20 trillion, what we may do is there may be some projectile explosions coming out of him as he cleans out royally.
Gotcha.
But then again, how does that affect me if that happens? That's not me, it's him.
Okay, and one other thing I wanted to ask you. I am having problems with my knees. The doctor says that there's some degenerative arthritis in there. But now it's hard for me to bend down and get back up. They hurt at different times. What can I do to help with that?
I'm going to give you three recommendations, and you're going to tell me which one works for you. But what I'm going to say is there is sufficient scientific evidence demonstrating that if a woman is even the least bit low in what's called vitamin D3 and vitamin K2, that what happens is the knees go through this downward degenerative cycle of the knees starting to wear out prematurely. So I want you to look into those two vitamins right there.
Okay, let me write that down. D3 and K2.
Mm-hmm. And this next one is based on just pure genius on my part. Let me tell you how smart I am. Ma'am, when you started taking collagen, do you think it helped your knees? And they say yes.
Now, listen, let me tell you what I'm doing. You did talk about the Great Lakes collagen, and I'm using that now.
Do you think you're seeing any improvement?
Yes, I do.
Okay, the next thing I'm going to request that you do, and this is going to be, it's just good old-fashioned hard work. But what I want you to do is I want you to go to a website called YouTube.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of the website that I've looked at. It has to do with the type of an exercise called a squat.
Okay.
And in my mind, I think it's called Squat University.
Okay.
If you will just type in corrective exercises for painful knees, the dude has got some very, very simple ones. But I have a feeling if you look at this fresh and brand new, actually, I've got my phone right here. Can I just try to look it up real quick?
Right.
I'm all about precision, baby.
Right. And it's so
I'm sort of laughing to myself because you don't even know how. Anyway.
It's so frustrating because it is hard now to bend down and get up. But now, my whole life, I've had problems with my knees.
Well, I tell you what, your whole life, you may have had significantly imbalanced, weak, and dysfunctional muscles. And there ain't no way to get around this but just to hit it head on. Let me write this down here.
And let me tell you something else while you're looking at that, if you can listen and write at the same time here. I took levofloxacin for a urinary tract infection.
Well, that's probably, that is a brutal drug.
Okay, when I took that, suddenly the insides of where my knees are, that got very sore. I could hardly walk on my left
foot. Well, my goodness, I hate that drug. That drug causes more tendons and ligaments to dissolve than any other.
Well, that's when I went to the doctor with it, and that's when they told me I just had degenerative arthritis.
Oh, man, you know what? I could have done that.
So,
man, do your knees hurt? You must have degenerative arthritis. But that doesn't do anything to change the metrics. Okay, here we go right here.
Okay.
It is, and I was right about that. I can't believe I actually remembered something.
You did
it's
good.
Called, thank you. It's called Squat University, and then type in knee pain.
Knee pain.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, good deal.
I'm going to find out what you're made of.
Okay.
Because you're either going to do it or you're not going to do it.
Well, I will do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be brutal.
That's okay. I mean, it's.
You know what? You know what my son told me yesterday on the phone?
What?
He said, Dad, I did this video challenge on Facebook to some other karate instructors in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what we did was do you know what a pistol is?
Yes.
I mean, is an exercise.
Oh, no.
No.
No, I don't.
A pistol is where you extend one leg out straight in front of you with your arms extended, and you stand on one leg, and
okay.
You squat all the way down where your bottom touches the back of your heel, all the way to the ground. And then you push back up straight while you hold your balance.
Mm-hmm.
He did 25 of these on each leg.
Mercy.
Mercy's right. I can't do it. But, I mean, you've got to have really strong muscles and knees. But he has zero knee pain. But he's also a karate instructor.
Okay.
So, anyway, if you will get on that website, all I want you to do is just how to fix your knees that crack and pop and are painful.
Okay.
And you just tell them what you think, but don't be discouraged. This is a great, this is going to fix you.
Okay, I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. You have a blessed day.
You have a blessed day, too. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Okay. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Okay, there's a phone line once again open, and the number here at the station is 903-586-5257. You are listening to Health Essentials, and I'm Dr. Morgan, your host. I just love it how the phones go dead when I start talking about hard manual labor to fix knees. Anyway, here's the article right here. This is adapted from What Can You Learn from Other People's Regrets? I just think this is wise. Let's listen to this right here. Life is too short to waste on regrets. Or say centenarians when asked to share their secrets to a long, healthy life. You may not know what the term centenarian means, but that means a person that's lived to be age 100 or above. Here's the recommendation. Proceed boldly, they instruct. Don't leave yourself open to saying on your deathbed, I wish I had... ... The centenarians likewise advise staying true to oneself and maintaining a strong social network of family and friends. Two factors that are often the source of regret for the dying. In fact, according to Bronnie Ware, a former palliative care nurse and the author of The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, the most commonly cited regrets at the end of life include lacking the courage to live a life true to oneself. I guess that means not living your dreams, you're scared to. Number 2, losing touch with friends. Working excessively at the expense of family companionship. Lacking courage to express one's feelings. And letting worries detract from happiness. Longevity research strongly supports Ware's overall findings. The same considerations that people report regretting are what centenarians get right. In interviews and surveys with people 100 100 years old and above. They affirm two of the most important factors contributing to longevity are strong social connections. I wonder if that's why people that go to church live longer. And a sense of humor. I personally have no sense of humor, so I doubt I make it past 40. Actually, I like having a sense of humor. It's better than crying. The benefits of social support are scientifically verified, with studies demonstrating that strong social support is the number one factor determining longevity and survival. In fact, its effect on mortality surpasses the influence of weight and even eclipses the influence of smoking cigarettes or maybe smoking something else. So your message today is walk barefoot on the dirt with your friends and visit. If you would like to join me on the radio, I do have a phone line open right now. Sorry I couldn't take it a while ago. But just call me at 903-586-5257. 903-586-5257. Maybe you'll call somebody that you haven't visited with in a while today and you'll have something positive to tell them instead of something negative. Here we go. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Yes, I was wanting to ask you a couple questions about my daughter. And she is 12 years old and in puberty.
I'm sorry. Do you have your phone pretty close to your mouth? Because I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, let me try this. Is that better?
Oh, man, that's a million times better. Thank you very much.
Okay.
So, 12-year-old daughter.
Yes, and she's in puberty and such. But, I guess I'll just say it this way. She has kind of a very low attitude. You know, not like defiant, but just depressed. And she's kind of had that for a few years. But I haven't really pursued it because we just tried talking about things about the Lord and you know, but I feel that she's at the age where her hormones and everything is impacting her, and I just feel that if I talk to the doctor about everything that he's going through, that he might want to pursue some kind of medication that I don't want to. So I just thought,
yeah, like
I would
an
ask
antidepressant.
You. Right.
Well, what would you like to see happen?
Well, I'm just wondering what you would, what you would recommend.
Does she laugh a lot?
No, not a lot.
Does she like adventures?
Yes, I think she does.
Would she go to one of those ninja courses and try it?
I don't know. I've never thought of that.
Would she go to one of those jump parks and jump on the trampolines?
Yes, uh-huh.
Would she be giddy and laughing afterwards?
She might.
What does she like to do for fun?
Well, she does like to be outside and, you know, ride her bike, and she doesn't like schoolwork, and you know, so
are you describing me when I was 12 years old? Because it sure sounds like
yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
Does she have brothers and sisters?
One sister, yes.
Do they get along pretty well?
No, not all the time.
That's probably because you're constantly making them fight, right? No, I'm joking about
right
that.
I am, of course.
I had a lady come to see me about, can I say 2 weeks ago? And the visit did not go well at all for the first 30 minutes because she walked in my office and she said, "Oh, great, you're one of those." I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "I've already done all this and I've already done all that. And this is probably like a waste of my time and my money." And I said, "Well, how do you want me to help you?" She says, "I'm just depressed." She said, "The drugs that I'm taking, they have completely lost their ability to work. And they're not serving me well." And she said, And I said, well, what's your definition of depression? She said, I just can't stand getting up in the morning. There's a black cloud over me. I don't have anything to look forward to. I've got this issue with my husband, and I've got this issue with this and that. I may be saying too much, but I haven't said the lady's name, so hopefully I haven't gotten in trouble. And she just keeps going and going about how this is not right. Anyway, what I did was I did my job, and she let me examine her. And when I examined her, I discovered that she had a gland right there at the base in the center of the brain called the hypothalamus. And all I'm going to suggest to you is when the hypothalamus is not doing its job, a person does not laugh all the time. They just don't. And so the hypothalamus plays a very powerful role in how we process emotions and how we have laughter and ambition and drive and motivation. But the more that I study this, I just think that when the hypothalamus is right on, people are just happy and happy and happy. And so she, I gave her a plan. I'm not going to tell you the whole plan on the radio because I don't want to like bore you to tears. But I worked out a plan for her, and I said, this is my crest. This is what I want you to eat. And this is what I want you to do. Well, the lady came back to my office about a week later. And it's not because she had a scheduled appointment. She just walked in. And she said, everything that you said was wrong, Dr. Morgan. I said, really? Because what I told her was, anytime that you're going to, it's just a healing phenomena. When you heal a person's hypothalamus and you bring it back up to full speed, it's real common that they're very, very angry for about 3 to 6 hours. It's kind of hard, a weird thing to explain, but when you target the hypothalamus and you try to help it, they just get really angry, and they can't explain why, and they go, I could just like bite somebody's head off, and I don't even know why I'm angry. So that could happen, and I tell her that's a possibility, about a 15% chance. But the other one I told her was, I said, more likely, there's like a 50% chance that you're just going to start crying a lot, and you're going to be super teary, and you're going to be just crying all over the house for like 3 days straight. And she goes, oh, great. I'll tell my husband I'm going to be angry, and I'm going to be crying. He's probably going to go to a hotel and go to a golf resort for 3 days so he can get away from me. But anyway, she walks in, she says, none of that stuff you told me even came true. She said, but I'm giddy. I said, well, that's the good part I forgot to tell you about. So she comes walking in the office. She said, I can't even tell you how happy I am. She said, this is the best I've felt in 17 years. I'm just super, super giddy. Now, you know how medicine works. Yes. If a person feels blue and down, they've got a drug for everything. Right. You don't like the way you feel? We'll give you an anti-anxiety medication. You can't sleep? We'll give you a sleeping pill. Blood pressure goes up to, well, hey, we got a drug for that. Cholesterol's too high. We will give you all the Lipitor in the world and the Crestor. Of course, it'll wreck your body. But anyway, but what happened to doctors trying to find out where the weak link was and find out how to support this person? So I tell you what, that's the number one thing that I see is when you repair the person's hypothalamus is they start laughing a lot and they start smiling a lot. You probably think I'm making this up, don't you?
No,
I don't. I could be making this up because I can do that. I can make up stories pretty easily. but what I would say is, why don't we just take a step back and just take a look at what's going on here? And I'd say, for me, when I have somebody in front of me, what I'm thinking of, and I know this sounds very simplistic, I'm thinking, where's the weakness? Not that I'm trying to label you or her or myself. Believe me, I've got plenty of weaknesses that I'm working on. But that's one of the things that makes life exciting. You get to work on the things that need help, right?
Right.
And so a lot of times when I find severe depression, I'll find that there's a glitch either in the frontal lobe of the brain or the prefrontal cortex, or I'll find the thyroid is really the problem. And there's a whole bunch of people, I think it's the adrenal glands, or it's the gut, or like in this woman's case, the hypothalamus. It helps me immeasurably if I can accurately pinpoint where the weak link is. Then, once I found the weak link, it is not uncommon for me to find that that person is eating something that just does not agree with them. And so I tell them, lay off the MSG, or lay off the Splenda, or the sucralose, or the Asulfame-K. You already know what I'm saying. I'm talking about artificial sugar and sweeteners.
Right. She doesn't eat at all. I mean, unless it's in food that I don't know about, we don't.
Right. Just an example. But then again, what I want to do is, if I find a weakness anywhere in her nervous system, I want to start feeding it.
Right.
Never underestimate the power of giving the nutrients and the food to the body that it needs to function at a high level. But I think this woman, I recommend that she start eating steaks every day.
Mm.
What does your daughter like to eat? And don't say Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Oh, no. She probably would like that, but we haven't had that for several years. So.
And but, so there's going to be a combination of things. But, oh, my goodness, the sky's the limit.
Right.
She could be the happiest girl of all time.
You're right. And I do know diet affects her, because we found that out a few years ago when we had a donut at church. At church, they would have donuts before church started. And so, like, 10 minutes later, she was the maddest girl in the world, and she didn't even know why.
Yeah, it's all, you know whose fault it is? The donut deacon. The deacon in charge of donuts.
Yes.
I'm not aware of that being a qualification, and to be a deacon is to handing out donuts. But then again, there are some churches you can be elevated to deacon status of all time just providing donuts to the elders.
Right. Well, that's when we figured that out, that it was either the wheat or the sugar. And so,
well, let's just look at those. Those two, what would cause more inflammation of the brain or the hypothalamus than a donut? Nothing.
Okay.
See, you're right
okay.
on target. You're actually okay. in reverse illustrating my point that I'm making. Something is causing massive inflammatory changes, which alters the blood flow away from the pleasure centers toward the anger centers.
Okay.
I bet you anything, it's her temporal lobes, because when she eats that donut, she ain't too temperate.
Yeah.
Actually, she has a temper.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, we probably found that out 4 or 5 years ago. And so we've gone through seasons where we don't eat wheat and we don't eat grains at all. And then, you know, we get back into it. And then I would say we've kind of been...
All this is
playing
easy.
With it.
All this is easy to fix. All of it's easy to fix. You just have to have a completely open mind and a different mindset.
Okay.
Actually, I think it's a sin to be a donut deacon, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Because you're causing the flock to become inflamed. Actually, it is the job to protect the flock. That's the elder's job, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, I just don't even get that, serving donuts for church service. I just didn't even make sense.
Well, it tastes good.
Well, well, you know what? And sin feels good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You say, I know it's wrong, but it feels so good. So you have a conflict between your spirit and the soul and the Holy Spirit. Goodness.
Yeah. Well, I have never seen a church that serves boiled eggs, you know, instead of donuts.
Yeah, but you've got a brilliant plan. Because what the boiled eggs will do, it would make them mentally sharp, and they would actually be more, you know, into the lesson, where they could take notes and get something out of it.
Right.
The donuts, all they do is they make you a zombie.
Right. That's true.
You know what? I'm not sure if you're right. So as soon as I get off the air, I'm going to go get a 6-pack of donuts, and I'm going to eat them and see how horrible I feel within about 10 minutes.
True. You know, I feel the same. I can get, if I eat a donut, I know I will pay a cost after it. So,
you know, I've done experiments with people, and one of them is having something that's rich in fat and protein within 10 minutes of waking up in the morning.
Okay.
And then I'll ask them, okay, how do you feel now? And they'll say, you know what, I am more emotionally tuned in. I'm ready to go. I have more ambition and drive and motivation. Because, I mean, God has given us the power to create. And what I mean is, I don't mean like he does, but you get to organize your day, and you get to use your natural God-given imagination and your intuition to start doing things that are productive. Mm-hmm. And who knows, this 12-year-old daughter of yours, she's probably destined for greatness if we can just uncover what her skill set is that God's given her.
Right.
I mean, right. Obviously, I'm doing my skill set right now.
Uh-huh. That's right. Well, and I even had this conversation with her the other day because, you know, she, not only is I do believe that her food and things and even playing outside affects her, but also, you know, her hormones from being 12 and you know, all of this and just her value that she sees other people have in her because friends are important and, you know, this and that. So I talked to her about what she wants to do and how she can help people and things like this. And, you know, she's very emotional about all of it. So, quite the conversation.
Bless her heart. She's just 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe that her mother is only 27.
Right, exactly.
You did have her when you were young, didn't you?
Well,
yes, let's get off that topic. Never mind.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, what we want to do is the same thing that you're doing. We want to try to find a way to support her in such a way where she can have the most fabulous life, and she can find out what her natural God-given skill set is, and she can use it to its full potential. I mean, basically, exactly. She is unlimited. You know what I read the other day in Psalm 139? It said, before I was formed in my mother's womb, you knew me. And then it said, all my parts were recorded in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a little bit too deep for me to fully understand and grasp, but all of your daughter's parts have already been recorded in a book somewhere in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder who's in charge of that book.
Yeah.
And how big is that book? You see, I'm using human terms to try to figure out something in heaven, which is probably like a fail.
Right.
Because no eye hath seen or ear has heard what God has in store for us, right? Okay. What I would suggest is there is a substance called monosodium glutamate, or MSG.
Right.
And I find that it is very, very upsetting to a brain like your daughter's.
Well, we try to avoid that. I mean, I look on packages for if it's in there, you know, certain.
I would
certain
have
foods,
your,
I just don't buy it.
I would try just for one day, just giving your daughter only meat to eat.
Okay.
Give her a T-bone steak. Give her a salmon fillet. Give her shrimp. Dip them in butter. Put butter all over the steak. Give her all the seasonings, the spices that she wants. Her dad should take her trout fishing this afternoon in Arkansas. Rainbow trout. You can cook them on over open flame, campfire, coals. On a
she
stick.
Would like that even in the rain.
I would totally. I mean, all you need is a tarp, right?
Right.
Or, you know, a rain jacket. And we'll put lemon juice all over them. We'll put butter in there, all the seasonings. And we're just going to eat those rainbow trout, and she's going to feel like $1 million. And she's going to say, Dad, you were the most awesome father of all time, taking me rainbow trout fishing in the rain in Arkansas. Well, I sure hope I've helped give you a start, but this is a mystery that can be solved. And I think there's a lot of, I think we just need a little bit of understanding. And every victory, we can go back because she's probably very, very smart. We can say, sweetheart, you see how well you did when you did this? Now, we're going to church this morning, and, well, I need you to eat a donut and tell me how you really feel afterwards.
No, she already knows that one. So.
But what do people normally do? They start handing out the Starburst and the Skittles and giving them to kids when they walk in the church building. They wonder why the kids go ballistic or bonkers.
Right.
I think if a mother wanted her kids to misbehave and be at their very worst, she'd load them up with sugar before church.
Yeah. And some do.
Well, the two areas that I would look at is probably her prefrontal cortex and her hypothalamus and the temporal lobes of the brain. And so we need to feed them. I mean, one simple food is just an old-fashioned superfood called cod liver oil. If we could give her cod liver oil every single day and plenty of it, we'll see if her brain likes just gobbling up that delicious nutrition.
So how much is plenty of it?
Well, I'm not going to tell you because I have my own beliefs that don't go along with textbooks.
Okay,
but you're going to have to experiment. Now, the reason I'm not going to tell you is because if I tell you the amount that I think, it's going to mm-hmm. freak a lot of people out, and it's going to like ruffle a lot of feathers. But you're okay. you're smart. You can get okay. on Google and say, how much fish oil can I give my daughter if she has a low attitude or she's mm-hmm. depressed and going through puberty? And then you start playing with the dose and find out what works the best.
Okay.
So I'm okay, not trying to be evasive, but
no,
I would say I'm thinking of a level that might blow your mind.
Okay. Blow your mind level. Okay, I'm writing that one down.
When I say blow your mind, I don't mean the brain explodes like there's a stick of dynamite in there. That's not what I mean.
Oh, I know. I know. Well, and I'll look that up. Okay, so meat with butter and all that, and cod liver oil, anything else?
Yeah, just don't eat one vegetable, not one piece of fruit, no grain, nothing.
Okay.
Where do they sell boiled shrimp today? Actually, you can buy a boiled shrimp if you want them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Sometimes Fresh has those boiled shrimp. I don't know if
you know today. You know what? I remember seeing you at Fresh one day. You had like a whole shopping cart full of shrimp. Was that
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that was me.
Well, let me know how it works out, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much for your phone call. I enjoyed every bit of it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right. There's, I don't know, a couple minutes left. Anybody wants to call with a quick question or comment? 903-586-5257. About 2.5 minutes, maybe a little bit less. That may be enough time for a phone call. But in case, here we go. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you, Dr. Roy Morgan?
I'm very, very good. How are you, ma'am?
I'm good. Thank you. I have a question. I had a hysterectomy. I'm 51, and I had a hysterectomy when I was 42, 41, 40, so almost 10 years ago. And I have hot flashes, terrible hot flashes. I've been taking evening primrose. But what else can I take to minimize those hot flashes?
Does EPO help?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Another thing you could try wheat germ oil.
Wheat germ oil,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think that's a good experiment, see if that helps. A lot of times I'll give hypothalamus extract, and sometimes that'll just completely turn them off, just about 80% of the time. And then you can use the SERMs. Those are going to be selective estrogen receptor modulators. That could be black cohosh and Dong Quai.
And how much, because I've taken the black cohosh before, and it didn't seem to help me at all.
Well, then change brands. And try a different one, see if it has a little bit better concentration, more of the active ingredients to do the good things that you want. So you can just change brands, and you can always try taking a double dose and see if that improves you.
Okay.
And then you could take a probiotic every day to see if the benefits of beneficial microbes living in the gut can change the estrogen-progesterone balance for the better.
And I've heard you speak a lot about that probiotic. So that helps with all different areas of our bodies. Is that what it is? It just helps.
Yes. Do you know what I think? You know what I think science has proven is the optimal temperature to sleep at night?
What's that?
64 to 68 degrees.
I love those temperatures. I freeze my husband out.
Who cares about him? We're going to talk about you right now.
I throw a blanket over him and just tell him to stop being a baby.
Right. Listen, he's supposed to be a hot, hot dude. Anyway, so 64 to 68 is going to be the most beneficial for you.
Yes, I sleep with a ceiling fan, another fan, the air conditioning. It's just, that's the best way for me to sleep.
Good, good, good. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thank you.
Believe me, you'll live longer. Thank you for your phone call.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Health Essentials on KBGS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, and Longview.